Guys, you guys see me talk about it on my IG, and I'm happy to say I have partnered up with them. You know them as BioPro Plus, known as Bioprotein Technologies. Man, you know it's the faster, easier, and safer way to take supplements. And I'm telling you right now, I'm so glad that I came across this company. Just what I have noticed by taking them, my metabolism, my muscle mass, my libido is off the charts right now. I mean, that's the first thing you'll notice. But literally, my recovery time is insane right now. They even offer a nighttime formula. My wife has started taking this, and I must say, like, she freaking loves it. She noticed her recovery time, her metabolism kicked up, her skin, she says, has been the best way, the best it's ever looked, and her hormone balance is way better, guys. And I must say, her libido even picked up. And you know what that means. Yeah, it's good times. Guys, check them out. And like I said, I got a code for you now. Go to www.bioproteintechnologies.com. When you go to the checkout, type in Unleashed and to save a little money. Okay, peeps, let's talk Tito Nice for a second, because my man Luke has done it again. It feels like he reinvents the wheel over and over again with his knives. And I'm telling you, right when I don't think they can get any better, bam, he comes out with a new one and knocks it out of the park. The new hollow bone replacement blade knife is off the chain, guys. I'm telling you, coming in weight with a 0.8 ounce with the blade. Materials are made out of carbon fiber and titanium, so you know it's strong as hell. What I like personally about it is where my thumb fits now on the grip between my four fingers. It fits like a glove. I love that design that he just came out with. Guys, check it out. Go to TinoKnives.com, the hollow bone replacement knife. Check it out. And when you hit the checkout and you push OK purchase, guess what? Type in my code GU15. Okay, the cat is out of the hat. And yes, that's right. We have teamed up with Sig Sauer. And there's nothing better than teaming up with the best of the best in the business. And I'm talking anywhere from their optics, firearms, and ammunition. Me, personally, I've been rocking the Zulu 9s for the binos. And I am loving them. Me, I think they're the alpha of the glass. For the fraction of price that you pay for, guys, check them out. The Zulu 9s. But I must say, I went down to the Sig Sauer games, and I got introduced to the Zulu 6s, and I had no idea their technology was so advanced. And I'm talking about their stabilization. You guys hit a switch on these binos, and bam, it's all smooth. No rocking, no motion, nothing. It is, and you know how heavy I breathe. I'll be breathing heavy, and I'll just be tired. And I pull my glass, and it's just wobbly all over. And I hit the switch, bam, it's clear. It's like being on a tripod. Guys, check them out. Their technology is off the charts. And I'm talking anywhere from, you know, their rifle scopes to their range finders. They all introduced the new BDX system. Guys, check them out. Support a company that supports your favorite podcast, SigSauer.com. What's up, y'all? You know how I take care of all my listeners. Guys, if you're the bow hunter, now's the time to jump on this code, because I don't know how long I'm going to keep it, a month, maybe 2 months max. Guys, Cutter Stabilizers has literally given me a code for you all, and I'm going to tell you guys right now, I've been rocking that system for about a good 2 years now, year and a half, and I'm in love with it. I honestly love that new back bar system I got on it, and the front bar. Guys, check them out. Go to their website, cutterstabilizers.com. Guys, type in my code, Gladiators10, and you can start shooting like daddy in no time. This podcast is brought to you by Kafaro International. It's gear for life.
Extreme hunting products, packs, frames, tents, shelters, sleeping systems, stoves, and more.
Did I mention it's American made?
Love it, America.
America. Hey, guys, check them out. It's Kafaro.net.
Okay, now we're good. Just making sure. What an idiot.
And I haven't been drinking.
Yeah. You went to bed
early. That's what happens when you go to bed too early.
Well, let's go take two. What up? We are back on day three on the Mile High Expo, and we're bright and early in the morning here on Sunday morning. What have been a great show already for all the guys here that showed up at the expo. I got to say, today I am honored to have some of the best guys in the state to speak up for us here as hunters. Dan Gates, man, Charles
Whitwam.
Yep, see, I would just go there. I'd still do it.
I should change it to Whitman. Yeah, that's what everyone says. No. So don't feel bad.
Our head coach in the fight game, Trevor Whitman. So used to that. But guys, Dan Gates, Charles, have been putting their feet to work, and they have been literally doing the work for us. A big campaign for the hunters, and I'm just going to let you guys take it away on how you guys have been speaking at all these podcasts, all these banquets. Like last night, I thought it was great. The speech that you did was dead on. I'm impressed, and like I said on the first take, that I didn't push record. I'm honored to have you guys here.
Thank you.
Because, you know, like, my listeners are a very different demographic. We're a bunch of rowdy little fuckers. And, but they all need to hear the truth.
Yeah.
And you guys speak the truth. And that's why I think it's important to have you guys on here, because, you know, our hunting rights are getting taken away.
Yeah, the opposition is it's not just Colorado centric. We become the epicenter, but we become the epicenter because we brought it to the forefront. If we weren't around and have evolved to the point to where we could have these interactions and this engagement, and this plan of action, a lot of this stuff would go unnoticed. It'd be uncharted territory because we would have been too late, too far behind the eight ball to actually get anything going. So, with the Coloradans for Responsible Wildlife Management that I'm the executive director of. The mission is to promote and enhance and defend the North American model of wildlife conservation and responsible wildlife management. Us partnering with groups and guys like Charles and Mike and John with Howl for Wildlife.
Yeah.
We've been working together a little bit on the periphery for a couple of years, but starting last year when the initiative was dropped through the Secretary of State's office from the opposition, the anti-hunter extremist, we formulated this good relationship. And, you know, people say, how long you guys been working together?
Yeah.
Man, it seems like you got this well-oiled machine. We kind of joke about it because as much as we've been around each other, it's like the Three Stooges. It's Mo, Larry, and Curly. And John can be the other guy, whatever the heck his name
was. Who was that guy that came in later?
I was trying to think. They had the Three Stooges turned into three and a half or something. But, you know, we are up against a juggernaut of animal rights extremism that is attempting to ban the harvest of mountain lions and bobcats. However, the general sportsman needs to understand that the wording in this, while it says mountain lions and bobcats, it's a hunting ban. And if you read the statutory definition in the language that the voters of Colorado will likely vote on in November if the signatures are fully gathered, it's a hunting ban. And what it says is trophy hunting means intentionally killing, wounding, stalking, and trapping or pursuing a bobcat or mountain lion or a lynx. But we can't harvest lynx anyway.
Yeah.
And so people need to understand that because it's statutory and it's not regulatory, you could put any species in to bobcat and mountain lion. And there's other components where they talk about hound hunting in this measure, but they mention electronic collars or tracking devices for dogs. If you read into it, and because it's statutory, it could be easily translated into upland bird dogs, waterfowl dogs, coon dogs, stock dogs, if you really want to get into it, for the agriculture community. And so us trying to educate the stakeholder, our guys on our side of the fence, so we can create a campaign, so we can raise enough money to be able to talk to the target audience, whereas anybody that lives in Colorado fully understands that the target audience, for the most part, is from El Paso County in Colorado Springs up to Wellington around Fort Collins in the Wyoming border, 25 miles east or west of the I-25 corridor.
Yep.
That's where we have to concentrate on education and letting them know about the importance of science-based wildlife management. We can talk about the North American model, but it doesn't resonate with them because if they don't hunt, they don't understand the model anyway. Yeah. But we got to talk about science, and we got to talk about experts, and we got to talk about practice and process and procedure, because the antis, the extremists, are giving them lies about the anthropomorphizing of wildlife, that everything's like a Disney character.
Are you kidding me? They're lying to us?
Well, yeah. Just a little bit, but repeatedly, about 15
right?
times a day.
Yeah, it's nuts. So. And it's just people that are just not educated. They've never been in the hunting world, so yeah. They're like, you know, I just feel like they got by with the wolves here in Colorado, yep. and this is next. You know what I mean? Like, this is next.
This is the do-or-die deal in our mind because of this particular agenda that's been driven by this gubernatorial administration and the elected officials that have been picked at different levels for replacements or otherwise for elections, and then the appointments that have been made in different aspects of Colorado government. And for anybody that has a concern about what they eat from the agriculture yeah. side, or if they want to recreate, or if they want to turn around and engage in hunting and fishing, or just knowing that you've got good, sustainable wildlife populations on the landscape, that didn't happen by accident.
No.
That happened from science, and it happened from expert managers like Colorado Parks and Wildlife,
yeah.
where we have 350 scientists working in that agency of 1,000 employees. We have to make sure that they are our wildlife managers and not the extremists that just turn around and want to try to take everything away.
Damn right. And that's the facts of the whole matter,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And, like, I want to know, like, Charles, like, how has it been working side by side with Dan here on this whole...
Be honest.
Yeah. Like, there, no punches held here, bud.
it's been a great... I'll tell you the story. So, I'm Charles Whitlam, president, founder of Howl for Wildlife. Yeah.
Great organization to be start with. If you guys don't follow them on the IG, support them. Guys, you better check them out. I'm telling you right now, because if you want to continue to be an outdoorsman, these are guys that you guys got to support. And
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Back up. You know, we all got to back each other in this whole deal.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. That's what we do. So I'm based in California, but we work in whatever state we're yep. needed, or whoever is willing to partner with us. Oregon, Washington, Montana, Colorado. So last September, I believe it was.
Yep, September 22nd.
We found out about this this initiative, 91 is yep. what it was called at the time, and still is. And for me, I knew this was like the make or break point. Colorado can't get any worse, and we needed all hands on deck. So what we did with Howl is, I mean, I just talked to Dan. I said, well, what do you need? He's like, well, we need a lot of attention. We need focus. We need fundraising. Okay, we're gonna reach out to everybody we know, the influencers, the industry, whoever, the individuals, yeah. our followers, and make this a national issue. Because it is a national issue. Although right now it's currently just, you know, within the borders of Colorado as far as the specific law that could be passed, it certainly has national implications.
Yeah.
So everybody should be involved, and everybody should get the backs of CRWM at yep. this time. Also because it will come to your state.
Yeah. It's a matter, not when, it's just, is it going to come, it's when.
Yeah.
It's coming.
So this partnership has been, I think it's been historic. It's been groundbreaking.
Yeah.
For one, it might sound a little crazy, but it's kind of weird for other orgs to support another organization and say, don't give your money to us. Give yeah. your money to these guys, yeah. to CRWM, because they're the ones who can really do anything with it mm-hmm. in Colorado. They're here for the fight. They're the spearhead.
Absolutely.
But that's how we're going to win, is with that type of mentality. So, you know, I wouldn't be here at Mile High Expo if it wasn't for this expo, because I'm extremely mission-oriented right yep. now. Like, this is the top yep. of the list. The number one priority is, right. is to win this. And then, you know, beyond that, we can take this, what we're building, into a juggernaut where, you know, another state faces this.
Yeah.
We've got all this following. We've got all this momentum. Yeah. We've got this kind of proving grounds and
when
testing
working,
grounds
to keep
carrying.
It going, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, it's been incredible. I wouldn't be on this podcast right now, because I wouldn't be in Colorado
yep.
if it wasn't for this. So yep. it's honestly,
you,
I think,
you
been
would
a,
still like me. You,
a little bit, but not as much.
That may be debatable, right?
Yeah.
No, it's funny because I see you guys now on every social media channel, podcast, yeah. and I'm like, to me, it's making a difference. Like, I really feel like, because when I first saw and I first heard about all this stuff that's happening, You know, you kind of just scroll through it and like, it doesn't really affect me. Bullshit. Because it does affect
It affects every
everybody.
Single one of it.
It's everybody.
If the biggest thing is, you know, like I said, wildlife does not happen by accident.
No.
Science does not happen by accident. And we were talking the other day on multiple podcasts that we've done that, you know, we talk about follow the science. Well, we heard that crap all the way through COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But 2 weeks of science is not science. That's an opinion, you know, that I like that
movie.
That's
fucking Big Pharma
there. That was like a movie critic deal is all it was.
Yeah.
But absolutely. When you got 50, 60 years of documentation and studies and compilations and models and objectives and all the fancy words that you could use, that's science. And science is adaptable because the environment changes. People change, the wildlife changes, habitat changes, climate changes, you know, whether disease changes or whatever. There's components of all that, but 2 or 3 weeks is not science.
No.
And so what we're trying to get people to understand is that we have a model that was created in theory over 125 years ago with our forefathers of wildlife conservation, the Teddy Roosevelts and the Audubons and the Hornadays and the Pinchots. And I mean, you look at what was created then and how things changed in the 1950s and 60s and 70s to where we are today. Where are we going to be in 2050?
That's what
I'm saying. Bobby dead and gone, but where's everybody else?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it's so important for my kids. I got an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old boy. You know what I mean? Like, this is the movement. Like, this is why I want them to do what I did as a kid.
How old are you?
43.
Okay. I'm 60. Yeah. I'm always the oldest son bitch in the room.
I got more grays, though.
No, not yesterday. Not yesterday. With Scott. The other guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? No, yesterday. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. He was older than me by five years.
That was the first time, though.
That was the first time. It's like I met Yoda that day. So, you know, so I could be like Luke Skywalker. Yeah, you could be Obi-Wan Ben Kenobi.
Obi-Wan.
So.
He does look like Obi-Wan. I guess I'll be Darth Vader.
But you'd be Darth Vader. We want our kids to grow up, but even if you don't have kids, there's something, you know, we got to ask them about what's your legacy.
Yeah.
What do you think your legacy should be? I don't know what is in the afterlife, but it should be nice if you turn around, look down and say, I helped did that. I helped do that and create that and made sure that we had it in sustainable levels of wildlife management and perpetuity. I don't know if that's feasible, but it sure be nice to turn around and think that what you accomplished was for the benefit of the good. And while our extremist opposition that everybody sees at every level, they think that their way is right.
Yeah.
We know that our way is right because we've got a proven model.
Yeah.
It's been that way for over a century. And we know since data has been able to be collected that we've been able to do exactly what we were doing. I mean, stop and think about this. Charles and I talked about this. I would be the guy outside clubbing a woolly mammoth in the knuckle dragging Neanderthal days. And Charles would be in the cave chipping the story away in the petroglyphs on the wall.
Okay.
They documented stuff hundreds of thousands of years ago.
Yep.
You see any anti stuff carved in the cave walls?
Right.
No, there's not. Do you see conventions today of antis? No. Why? Because their stuff is taken.
I didn't think about it like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been doing this because it's humanism. It's what everything that we've done on
mankind.
The planet.
Yeah.
And they want to take the mankind component out of it because they don't think it's right.
Yeah.
Well, it's been right since that guy's been chipping it on the wall, his ancestors.
Hunting is human.
Yeah, that's it.
It's what it is. And, that's what
it's a part of life. Mm-hmm. It's just what it is. And that's what I think is so important that we get across to, you know, the listeners and like literally just fucking put, you know, quit talking about it and just put a little money in these organizations and help do it. You know what I mean?
We got to rebuild the walls of protection.
Absolutely.
So our kids can enjoy it. And then at some point, they might have to. Someone's giving me a back massage here.
He loves that right now.
How come you went to him?
I know. What the fuck? Where's my ass?
I was going to keep going.
Oh, sorry. Come on. I got it. Sorry. All right.
Oh, I'm back here in the corner. I don't get anything out of it.
You're so tight, man.
Nobody puts me in the corner.
You're tight.
I know.
Relax,
I know.
Do some yoga.
Thank you. I'll return the favor.
Hey. But
we got to rebuild the walls now so our kids can enjoy it. And then someday, you know, it always happens. They might have to rebuild it, or their kids might have to rebuild it. Yep. But it's our turn right
Somebody
now.
Has to step forward.
It's our
and
turn.
And like I said, you guys have done so much for it. And I, me personally, just, you know, to have you sitting here with me on the show, I want to say seriously, thank you. Because, you know, if it ain't you guys, who's going to do it?
Yeah.
And you guys have literally done a lot. And I, like I said, I got to say thank you, because you got to give credit where credit's due. You know what I mean? And
you have to start somewhere, Luke. You got to, I mean, we've had the opportunity before us in the sportsmen and women hook and bullet community. Mm-hmm. And we say this often, that it's not to degrade or erode any one of the conservation acronym groups that we're all members of. It's trying to instill a level of optimism and enthusiasm with them to say, get your members on board, because you were created for conservation. You weren't created for the fight. We need to figure out a way for the community, the individuals, the organizations, and possibly the states to get engaged for the fight. And if we don't do that, if we don't do it sooner than later, then the other ones, the extremists, are like locusts on a cornfield. Yep. And either you plant a different crop, you get into a different field, or you turn around and use the pesticide to kill the locust on the field.
Yeah, and then we're done.
And then you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're done. But that's why I'm saying, like, when did you guys feel like, okay, I got to start raising my voice, I got to start, you know, talking about this? When did this, like you said, 2 years ago, you guys started working?
We started working. Yeah, we kind of did. Yeah, we launched Bill 31. In February 2022. Okay. I started working on it in January 2021. So it was after a specific bill in California that I knew we needed to change some things.
Yep.
And then as soon as we launched, I think that first month, we worked a little bit in Colorado on SB 31. With Dan, nobody really knew who we were. We kind of came out of nowhere. And we've just developed the relationship by kind of proving to people what we want to do, what our intentions are, what we can offer. And really that, I think now everybody understands that this is a passion project.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just like fully invested into this. And then meeting people like Dan, who he's so articulate. He looks the look. He has the experience. He has decades of you know, working with legislators or commissioners or the, you know, fish and game, parks and wildlife, whatever it's called in Colorado. Yep. He has all of that in a package, and I'm just like, well, I'm ready to promote you, because you're the guy people should listen to get the right information. Yeah. I mean, let's just help each other here.
You're literally knowledgeable. Yeah, very knowledgeable.
It's incredible.
And well, I'm one of the guys, I could go out and kill the mammoth, but I could still do the petroglyphs on the wall at the same time. So
do it all right. I that's one thing I will say when I, you know, get on my social media feed and whatever is, I listen. I stop and listen now, because you guys are educating me. I mean, I was a fighter my whole life, right? I just punched. I got held back in third grade.
Yeah.
But I love to hunt, right? And I literally, I stop and listen, and like, you know, like I made a point that I wanted to be in the outdoor business. I wanted my job to be in the outdoor world, because love the outdoor. I choose this
life. Everybody loves the outdoors.
Yeah, everybody.
Everybody. 94% of all Coloradans engage in some form of outdoor recreation, whether it's walking the dog, whether it's turning around and going on a walk. It's some sort of outdoor recreation. It's in our psyche. It's in our
DNA.
It's everything. Now, there's some people.
This quick break is brought to you by Apex Next Evolution, the elite outdoor supplements out there. Y'all want to stay harder for longer? Then look no further. Apex brings you the hardest, cleanest, long-lasting oral supplement out there today. And guys, I will put my name on it. That's right, I said it. That Conquer they got going, the pre-workout, is the bomb diggity. But they got it all, man, all the way from energy, hydration, to recovery. Guys, check them out. I'm not bullshitting you. It's apexnextevolution.com. Use my code GLADIATORS10.
Some people, they want to spend a lot of time indoors, and they don't want to ever get outside. They're afraid of the outdoors. Yep. But 94% of Coloradans engage in some sort of outdoor recreation. That's not an anomaly for Colorado. That's pretty much most people. Yep. They love the outdoors. And so whether you want to go play Frisbee, or whether you want to go hunt an elk, whether you want to walk your dog, or you want to go fishing, whether you want to go camping and backpacking, or you want to go four-wheeling and off-roading.
Yeah.
We love the outdoors, and we need to be able to turn around and show people certain aspects of the outdoors, where it comes from, how we sustain it, and where we need to take it if we're going to have it in perpetuity.
That's, you said it right there, perfect to a T right there. Like, everybody loves the outdoors. And that's why I said, like, I feel like people are just not educated because they think, oh, I don't hunt, so it doesn't involve me.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And I think that's the message that I want to send out, because a lot of people, like my wife's friends or something, they're not big hunters. They always ask questions about it. And I try to educate them, right? Like, I do it. And they're like, oh, well, it won't bother me. I'm like, yeah, it does.
Oh, yeah.
You love all those little 14ers you do and all the hiking and,
you know, the wildlife that they see. The North American model, whether you're a hunter or not, is good for everybody.
Everybody.
Whether you're a hunter or not. You want to continue to see healthy wildlife populations? Absolutely. You don't have to be a hunter to understand that. No, it benefits everybody. What you're trying to do benefits everybody.
Did you listen to Cal on Meat Eater?
Yeah,
Ryan,
where he
mentioned about the rock climbers and stuff, and you don't think that that's a component that extremist, environmental, anti-hunting extremists could go in some capacity because somebody wants to climb a rock and there's a bird nest within a half a mile of where the hell you want to be or whatever. I don't want any birds of prey disturbed, but if you're not on the same cliff, you should be able to turn around and utilize those rocks. I'm speaking on behalf of rock climbers now, but it's the mountain bikers too. It's the backpackers. It's the geocachers and the dog walkers. And I was deer hunting like 4 years ago. I'm thinking, what the hell is that noise? What is that? And a hang glider comes over the top of me.
Oh, shit,
and
really?
He comes off this peak that I was up on top of. But I'm like, where the hell did he even come from? And he when he landed and we seen him down at the parking area on the forest, he was like, well, I walked my hang glider up to the top. And I'm thinking, well, you got a hell of a lot more stamina than I got, because I was hunting and I didn't go up there.
And you had to go up on top and
exactly.
do it
exactly.
Holy
yeah.
shit.
Yeah, but is that going to be illegal someday because somebody doesn't want you interfering with something that
the
is
preservationists.
In nature?
The noise or something. Yeah. That's what it is right there, right?
It's not conservation, it's preservation.
And you say that conservation because a lot of people don't get it. Like what we did last night, the auctions and everything, like, I thought that was fucking pretty cool, raising that much money in a first year show.
Yeah.
And I was talking to my wife. They're like, dude, where's these people get these money and all this stuff? My
they
wife was
fighters.
Asking me.
They were fighters.
Yeah, the good fighters out there. I must have been a bad fighter.
Well, you saw Derek, he bought something.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's what I told him. He came over to me. He goes, dude, I said, why didn't you get that hunt? He was like, dude, I thought I was going to get it. I was like, you out of everybody could afford that, so it was crazy. But I was more impressed with that because I was telling her, like, this is money that's going to conservation.
Yep.
This isn't for my expo. This isn't for, you know, their pockets.
Yeah,
this is going to the conservation. What it says on that board right there, and I think a lot of people don't get that. They're like, oh, somebody's making money off of this. It's just a bunch of hunters trying to rally up and. No, it's not. That's not the fact at all. This is what guys do when we buy licenses, tags, and we put forward, and it's conservation.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think, oh, you're a hunter, you're killing our animals.
Yeah.
Dude, we're making the numbers right.
And, you know? and the squeaky wheel typically gets the grease on a lot of different levels, but the extremist side of what we deal with is less than 5% of the overall population, similar to what vegans or maybe vegetarians.
Yep.
I mean, it's a minute component of the population, just like hunters on the top end. Sportsmen and women are part of a lower level of percentage of the population. It's that middle of the road that utilizes that outdoor recreational opportunity. We don't have to have them be hunters. We'd prefer they didn't be non-hunters. You know, just support it.
Right.
Just support what the hell we got. But we damn sure don't want them to be anti-hunters.
Yeah.
They need to understand why we have what we have, who pays for it, how it's managed, and how it benefits them in some capacity. Because in some capacity, it's to where they can go on their mountain bike run or their ride and go on a run or hang glide or whatever, and know that the wildlife that they saw is something that was there, that was a benefit to them, even though they didn't pay into the system, they didn't participate in the process, but they acknowledged it and that somebody else was doing it on their behalf. If we didn't have animal extremists, and we didn't have the wildlife and the consumptive use side of it, the extremists wouldn't have anything to bitch about.
Yeah. Facts.
That's the thing. You know, I get into discussions with people that I sit around the table from at different levels, and they're like, well, we have this open space and we've got these hiking trails. That's fine, but you've run all the wildlife out, so that's not habitat any longer. It's open space.
Yeah, open space.
It's a park. You know, and you might have a little, you know, some squirrels and maybe some deer or whatever, but it's not wildlife habitat because everybody's running their dogs, everybody's riding their bikes, everybody's hiking, everybody's backpacking. You know, you look at these open space places in and around Denver, that's so people can get outside.
Yep.
And while there might be a little bit of wildlife there, it's not typically wildlife habitat.
That's a perfect thing. I didn't really think about that, too.
I never have either.
I really never thought about that.
We have a football field, open space. You know,
but it's facts, right? Like, I live in Conifer. Yeah. It's outside of Denver, right? You guys know what Conifer is.
Yep.
Same thing. I got all these open trails every weekend. Mm-hmm. It's packed because...
How much wildlife do you see there?
Not very much.
Not very damn much.
Not very much. No. And that's why you get all these hikers and everybody coming in there. And it's not hunters.
Nope.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you said it, like, you did an idiot proof for me right there.
Dan said it was good. Dan said we are the minority, but what we do does benefit the majority.
Yes.
And the other minority you were talking about, what they do does not benefit the majority.
No, they it benefits their ideology and their agenda.
Yeah.
But outside of that, there's no benefit that animal extremism or terrorists bring to the conversation except for an agenda that they're trying to take us out. They don't like the human side of it. Yep. They don't like the human and hunting side of it. They don't like the wildlife conservation side of it. They don't understand what they're fighting for except for to stop everything that we fight for ourselves.
Yeah, because they think it's bad and wrong and...
Yeah.
Control.
And they can successfully fundraise off of it. That's really what it
is. Because it has to do with killing.
Yeah.
It has to do with killing. The intent is to kill. Remember they always said about intent?
Yep.
The intent is to for us to pursue, stalk, and kill. That's hunting. And that's what they defined as trophy hunting in the initiative. They're using what we do as a definition of what they want to accomplish because they want to bastardize it while we're trying to pedestalize it.
Yeah. And it's a fucking shame, honestly. Yeah, it's a fucking shame because, you know, like what you said, it's like we were doing this from fucking this...
Forever,
you know, since mankind came across. And now, you know, I feel like we, you know, the tags that we buy, we put in for... Dude, the people that are so against the hunting deal, I feel like they do not realize how much money we actually give towards the wildlife thing, right? And it's just kind of sad and where we're at today and we're fighting for what
I want to throw something in because, you know, the statistics that we give at so many different levels, and this is a different crowd that you've got, for sure. But for elk hunting in Colorado, which you participate in elk hunting.
I'm an elk hiker.
Yeah. You take your bow for a walk.
Yep.
You know, so you might as well just go to open space like you're taking your dog there.
Exactly. You know,
it's like, just walk around. And he's hunting. No, I'm not. I'm just walking my bow. But 91% of all elk hunters in the state of Colorado are unsuccessful. 91%.
Oh, that makes me feel better.
Yeah. So... And that's archery, muzzleloading, rifle, shotgun, you know.
Yeah.
Across the board.
Yeah, straight across. Public land, private land, in-state, out-of-state, all seasons. Cows, bulls, doesn't matter. 91%. That's 9% of the people that actually get to retrieve something and take it home. 91% or 100% are paying for the opportunity to do that. But our cinematographer that's been doing some of our commercials, he threw out there in one of our commercials, think about if people had to apply for the opportunity to go to the grocery store. And then if you got a license to go to the grocery store, then you're only successful 9% of the time because you had to wait for the season and the deal. We wouldn't be going to the grocery store very often.
No.
We pay for the opportunity to do what we advocate for, and then we can feed ourselves, but it provides benefit to the species, to the habitat, to the management, and to the anti and extremists. How many times do they kick anything into our pot for anything? Nothing. But they still go to the grocery store. Let's see how successful they'd be if they could only turn around and take stuff home, you know, 9% of the time.
God damn, you are smooth talking. It's just education, dude. And like the way you put things in a whole different relatable form.
Relatable.
It's well, you, when you got a weak mind, strong back, big mouth, and broad shoulders, you can do a hell of a lot of stuff, but yeah. You're going to screw up at one time or another. So,
Pat, I got to say, Dan, like, you had literally made this, you know, something real easy to understand, I feel like. And what do you think is the biggest movement that, or what can we do now going forward?
You lead this.
Well, we're talking about Colorado. The biggest thing you can do going forward
Colorado, and then, you know,
expand
everywhere.
Sure. Well, the biggest thing you can do right now is support CRWM 100%. 100% of the money that you give, if you're supporting them, you know, through donations or whatnot, it's going to the fight one way or the other.
Right.
CRWM has lawyers and campaign managers and you name it set up to really successfully, efficiently, effectively fight this fight wherever it's going to go. We don't know if they're going to get the signatures. They might get the signatures, then it's going to go to the battle or to the ballot. But that's the only thing, the only avenue you should look to for this fight is CRWM. There isn't anything else outside of that. Outside of the state of Colorado, you can support Howl for Wildlife, of course. Yep. We're light and nimble. We work where we need to. We do what we need to do. Just recognize problems and say, I think we can offer some help here. And really, that's just bringing people to the table.
Right.
Bringing money from those people. Bringing, you know, sharing on Instagram, whatever it is, from influencers. Taking out time of their day and focusing on, you know, conservation or wildlife or the efforts that we bring to them.
Right.
And, you know, but we are building something, like I kind of mentioned before. We are building something beyond this to take the success of what's happening here in Colorado and make that a huge national effort. So really no one can stand against us and get away with these lies and propaganda. We got to start reaching the non-hunting general public so they know that it's lies and propaganda. I think that's the biggest impact that we can
I would
have.
100% agree with you there. I just from my circle that I know, like, you know, I get like a lot of fighters, you know, MMA guys, UFC guys, and, you know, not all of them hunt. And they're like, dude, you guys always out there shooting out targets and doing all that. It looks fun. I'm like, it is fun. You guys should do it. Come out. Try it. And they're like, dude, I think I could try hunting and do it. And they're like, I did my hunter's education back in the day, but I never did anything with it because I don't know where to start. I think right there what you just said is just getting the non-hunters involved because, like you said, it's a lot of lies going out there and making us look like we're just trophy hunters, blah, blah, blah. Like, but it's no different than what you said. The open space is really the problem, too. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that, they had nothing to do with hunting.
You know? No. And you know, Luke, you saw last night the collaborative effort. You know, first thing, Derek Wolf gets on stage.
Yep.
He starts calling out CRWM. He starts calling out my name personally. But it's not about me. Yep. It's just that I'm the tip of the spear. But you know, their event that they're doing in August, that the money's going to go to CRWM in the fight. Yep. That the recognition of what CRWM does. You heard Abe and Phil talk about CRWM. You heard Scott Watley talk about CRWM. If you walk around this show here and you see how many signs of CRWM for the raffles that we're doing to go to the fight. I mean, this is a monumental effort, and I say monumental because Charles and I've traveled all around the different shows so far. I mean, we started early in January after a couple different opportunities in December. We started early in January, and you see the buy-in from all classes of people like to hunt and fish and all classes of organizations in different states. We've taken contributions in now from 50 states. You heard me say last night, you know, 6 Canadian provinces, 4 foreign countries, business owners and landowners all around, the industry itself supporting our cause. Because they see the need that if we don't stop and put up a flag in Colorado and draw a line in the concrete, the way that this is written statutorily, you can put anything else in here. And I'll say this, that people paying attention to what we're doing and how we're doing it, if they went after bighorn sheep like they're going after mountain lions, the guys who pursue and conserve and propagate bighorn sheep management all around this world, they wouldn't have a chance in hell to turn around and go against those guys because those guys see the value of where we're at.
This quick break is brought to you by Crispy Boots. And I'm telling you, I've been rocking the new Laponians Gen 2s, and they had the best thing that's ever happened to my feet. Man, I'm talking lightweight, great ankle support, and I'm telling you, they look real snazzy. I love them. I used to rock the Thors, and man, these things blow them out of the water. I'm telling you, man, let's just keep it real. Crispy Boots, I'm a big fan, and I think all their boots are thebomb.com. You know, guys, check them out at crispyus.com.
If you look at the petroglyph definition or the drawings that I was mentioning,
yeah,
you see bighorn sheep on all of those.
All of them.
They were there hundreds of thousands of years ago in a conservation effort to get us to a point now, like the Rocky Mountain Bighorn Society, Wild Sheep Foundation.
Yep.
That the way that we have gotten to where we're at is because it's humankind.
Yeah.
It's what we do in our creationism or evolution, depending on how you ever want to look at it. We have the opportunity to set the tone, set the narrative, plant the flag, plant the stake, make the playbook, write the roadmap to where we won't be drawing things on walls anymore.
Yeah.
But the guys 200, 300, 500, 1,000 years from now can turn around and look back and say, no matter what technological-driven components that are there at that point in time, we still have conservation. We still have wildlife. We still have management. We still have natural resources.
Yeah.
And that happens through education. And the movement, the Charles with Howell, Mike and John, and we with CRWM, what we've created, other ones are starting to filter in to where you can build that alliance. You can build
that
alliance.
That's where it starts.
That's where it starts. And I think that while it's in Colorado right now, it's going to get bigger, better, meaner, faster, stronger, and we're going to kick some ass.
It was so refreshing to, I don't know if refreshing is the right word, looking for a better word. Dan, help me. But to hear what Derek said yesterday and being at different shows in the past, and I was like, man, this is right on. This is what it needs to be about.
He's not scared to talk to, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, he calls it spade a spade, you know what I mean? And it is. And when I heard that too, and then I saw you get up there and talk, like, it was refreshing.
Oh, man.
It's like a new breath of fresh air for
us. Was, even with the background music from the girl daddy dance in the other room, it was actually pretty remarkable to have that sort of an immediate response, because everybody was pretty quiet in the room. Yeah. I mean, they listened to what we had to say because it's important enough. You know, you might catch pieces of a news blip and people might pay attention to a podcast, but when you have them in your presence, and if 100 people out of 500 pay attention and then they tell another 50 and they tell another 20, that's how you build momentum.
Absolutely.
And we haven't built very good momentum historically, but we are in the last 6 months, and we see it being able to progress to other levels.
What'd you guys say? You started this in January, this moment?
Actually, September. I mean, last September, when they dropped the initiative, I hired the legal team and the strategy team within 3 days.
Oh, goddamn, really?
3 days.
Holy shit.
I was in Las Vegas to sign the contract.
You've been a fucking busy man.
I've been a busy son of a bitch. Yeah, and ask my wife.
Yeah. I mean, God bless
her,
right?
Look at my hotel bills.
Yeah, God bless her.
Yeah. Yeah, I recognized her last night, and the amount of people that come over to her or hit me up with tears in their eyes or hands shaking and a little wavering and stuff because you're speaking on their behalf. We had people buy us a dinner. After the banquet, we went to the bar and ate dinner. And when the waiter came along, he said that it's been taken care of. And I said, who took care of it? And he goes, well, they didn't want you to know. And before we walked out, we got hit up by two different couples, literally with the tears in their eyes, wanting to take pictures because of what we're doing that they see that we're doing on their behalf.
Which is awesome.
But we're doing it on everybody's behalf. If you like conservation, if you buy a license, if you're interested in science-based wildlife management so we can have this for generations to come, we're doing it for everybody. Yeah, CRWM's on the logo.
Yeah.
But we'd like to be considered to be, to have an umbrella or a spider web to where everybody can hook onto it and go, we are all, in some capacity, CRWM, because it affects every single one of us.
Right. If I had to say something, like, where would you say, like, the main, like, initiative is, like, going to a website, raising, like, you know, throw some money in there to, you know, let's just say, like, the average person's not, like, doesn't have a podcast or can't get you guys on a platform. the average Joe, let's just say, and I hate the word average Joe because I feel like every hunter,
we're all average Joe.
But how does a guy come forward and say, you know what, I want to support these guys. This is who I am. I don't have a big platform, but guess what? I got a little money in my bank account. How do I step forward to this?
SaveTheHuntColorado.com.
Yep, SaveTheHuntColorado.com. For CRWM, we started this in 2016. So it's not like we just did this for an issues committee. SaveTheHuntColorado.com. You can get on the website. You can look at the videos that we've created for a variety of different reasons over the course of the last 6-7 years. You can look at the videos pertaining to this specific issue. You can also look at the initiative itself and read the language yourself to where you understand exactly what we're saying, exactly what the opposition's saying. It's not me talking. This is written down, and it's going to be in statute.
Okay.
Then go to SaveTheHuntColorado.com. I want to turn around and give a good shout-out because we've got two raffles on there that you can link to. If you go on SaveTheHuntColorado.com, you can link to the raffles. Safari Club International, Colorado Chapter of Safari Club International, has got two raffles going for us. One's a mountain lion hunt and a mount that the Whitaker Brothers Outfitters have donated, and the Ovis Wildlife Taxidermy has donated the mount. Both of those together for one raffle. Then there's a Gunworks rifle that Gunworks and Salida Gun Shop have donated. You buy tickets for that. That's a donation. 100% goes to CRWM for the fight. Those drawings go out to June 13th, and then the drawing will be on June 15th.
Oh, that's coming up then.
Yeah. So you got a couple months to be able to donate, send people to that. And if they just don't want to donate on the site, they can turn around and buy tickets linked to the site. It'll take you right to the SCI site. And that's something you can do to have a chance at winning, support it, and also support the vendors that have supported us in this process. I mean, this is all pro bono.
Yeah.
Everybody's giving us things pro bono because they see the urgency of it.
The importance of it, yeah.
But also, to answer your question earlier, what else can you do if you don't have a podcast or whatever else? And a lot of people, we hear this a lot, well, my one voice doesn't matter, right?
Bullshit.
Share the posts, share the videos that they put out, and when 10,000 people are doing that, which they are, that has a huge effect, and your one voice is a part of that 10,000.
Right.
The same goes, and maybe you know somebody who podcasts. I don't think we say no to any podcast.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't say no to BC.
We don't care who it is, because it's all about getting the message out.
With the enemy. I don't care.
Yeah. Well, you know, if it has anything to do with like the outdoors or anything like that, I feel like you guys are very important guys to be on a podcast too, because like I said, you guys will get the message across a lot faster than I will. My stuttering ass and not educated motherfucker. That's why I would rather, you know, give my money to you guys and you guys do it. And all I can do is support you guys here on the show, share your shit, follow you, support that, and I think that's what
you can buy a raffle ticket there.
I'm gonna buy one now. I'm definitely gonna. I never win shit though.
You're also a conduit for us though. When we put something out, it doesn't go anywhere if it doesn't go anywhere, and it takes people like you to make it go somewhere, right? Like we can create content all day long, but if no one cares and no one shares it, nobody gets involved and it goes nowhere. So this goes both ways.
Yeah, 100%. That's why I said like a lot of these guys come up here and they're like, "Hey, do you think I could get on?" or "Hey, can I get a picture with you and using my product?" Blah blah blah. And I'm like, "Absolutely," because I know what it's like to start something up.
Sure,
it's so hard to get your name out there and start.
You were a fighter.
Yes, sir.
You are a fighter.
Yeah, many moons ago.
So in theory, you prepared for how long for the fight?
Well, put it this way. I'm a coach now. I leave tomorrow morning, go to Vegas. We fight UFC 300, Justin Gaethje. And 12-week camps. Every day, twice a day, training, sometimes three.
But if you had a fight coming up, let's just say November 5th, which is our fight.
Yep.
How long would you have to prepare for that fight?
That's what I'm saying. Every day I'm trying to get better.
And that's what we are.
Yeah.
You know, we know that November 5th is our Super Bowl. November 5th is our fight date.
The fight date. Yep.
Now, if they don't get the signatures, then I consider that to almost be a forfeit on their end. Yeah, we get away with it with a little bit. But I want personally, I want to go to the fight. because I know we can crush them. I know I can beat them. I know I can stomp them. I can put my, I can pop their eyeballs out in this process, and I don't want them to come back. But if they say they had a hangnail and they can't turn around and fight, well, okay, we kicked them down the road, but we didn't win anything. And
they're going to come back.
They're going to come back. And if we beat them, if we legitimately beat them, they're not going to be so eager to turn around and come right back and fight again.
Yeah.
If they say, well, we need to take a step back and we need to look at this differently, we kick them down the road for a year or 2 years, or they regroup and they get some more support and they build their war chest and their armament and they capitalize off of our strategy that we've already seen and laid out, I want to beat them.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that they actually get the signatures, because I want to crush them on television, I want to crush them in the press, and I want to crush them on the landscape to where they fully understand that if they come to Colorado or any other state, we're going to turn around and do it worse the next time.
I want the fight.
I want the fight.
I'm going to be your cornerman. I honestly, I can't thank you guys enough. Like, honestly, like, guys, I have learned so much from you in the last few months, just because I watched your social media. I got guys, you know, in the outdoor game. I talked to, you know, Snyder, Ranella, all these guys, and
badasses.
And
everybody's involved.
Everybody's involved, and it's just because we get the big picture. Mm-hmm. You guys get the big picture, and I appreciate time away from your families because. It's that part's hard, dude. I mean, you know, I'm a dad now. You know, being away this week and next week, it all takes a toll. But you guys are doing it for the right reasons. And that's why I always said, like, everybody, we have this thing, like, well, we're hunters, we're bad, or, you know, we get this this bad thing from the non-hunters, right? And I'm like, motherfuckers, we do more for the wildlife than your non-hunting ass does, right? And I'm like, I just want to say thank you again, because you guys are literally are putting your face out there, your name out there, because there's a lot of anti-hunters that probably want to see you dead too. You know what I mean?
That's a whole different conversation.
That's another conversation.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because that's what people don't realize, you know?
For what's going on, I would like, I'd put it on the record. I would like to see some of them do some of the stuff that they said they were going to do.
Yeah, that's the internet troll, right?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, those motherfuckers, I wish it would. Huh?
Yeah,
I wish they would.
It's like, there'd be a slip and fall accident in the men's restroom.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Guys, before we get off here, one last time, when's the deadline? What can guys do to help support the donations, follow you guys, IG, Facebook, whatever? Give the spiel.
Go ahead, Charles.
Howlforwildlife.org. Instagram is howl_org. Get involved. Follow us for state issues. Follow us for, you know, what we're pushing out for CRWM. But obviously now that I saw Dan, by the way, open up Instagram for the very first time, which was interesting. Now they're operating at a completely different level. Yes. So certainly go to that Instagram and follow what's going on there. But Dan, you can take that over.
No, so our Instagram is c.r.w.m, CRWM, it'll come up. And the Facebook is the Coloradans for Responsible Wildlife Management. Obviously, for the website, it's SaveTheHuntColorado.com. The biggest thing that we just tell people is stay apprised. Let everybody know what the heck we're doing and how we're doing it, because we're doing it not just for our behalf. We're doing it for everybody that likes outdoor recreation in a consumptive manner or a non-consumptive manner. If they care about wildlife management, support us. Help donate and help us defeat the enemy, the evil that wants to turn around and stop us from being humans. And for us that are trying to support science-based wildlife management.
Period. Right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you said it right to a nail on the head right there. Like, support where you guys are. You know, like, come in. It doesn't have to be a whole lot of money. Follow, like I said, if you don't got the money, go follow, share their videos. Get it out there. Get the word out there. That's, I think, is probably more priceless than, you know, some of the donations you
get. And if you live in Colorado and you care about this issue, register to vote.
Yep.
And if it comes to it, make sure you vote.
Yep.
That's, we won't get into it, but that's
vote no.
Yeah, vote no.
Yeah. For all my dummy friends, it's like me. Yeah, it's no, not yes for this.
You're
one.
Not voting yes on this.
Prop 114, which was the wolf reintroduction thing, was lost because not enough sportsmen who were registered to vote actually went and voted.
Yeah.
They had that defeatist attitude.
Yep.
So if it gets to that point, do not let that happen again.
Yeah, fuck, please, guys.
Learn
it's,
from that.
It's our house.
Yeah.
It's our message. It's our model. It's our management. It's everybody's wildlife that we are paying to help support so everybody can do it. Help us defend that.
Absolutely.
Help us defeat extremism and make us proud come November 5th and be part of the victory, not part of the problem.
Damn. Look at this guy. He's sly. We got a good one here, Doc. I'm impressed. Goddamn. You could be like a reverend. I mean, fucking president.
Well, I don't think reverend.
Fucking, I don't know, man. You a slug? You can just talk. Well, you can do a fucking podcast. I know that.
Be an interesting church.
Yeah. My friends.
Yeah, right?
We're going to do that next. We'll do that.
I can't thank you enough again. Like I said, I appreciate your guys' time. I hope you guys have a silly flight back home. Guys, I just, like I said,
thank you.
Look forward to working with you.
Yeah, Luke. Man, appreciate it. I'm going to be out there winning all that money out at Derek's place. I'm going to win.
I'm going to be there too. So he drugged me into that, so I'm looking forward to it.
I know, right? That being said, guys, check him out, and this will be out this week.
Cool. Good deal.
For you guys, all right? Okay. Sooner the better. All right, we out.
Hey guys, I wanted to hop on here and give you guys a big shout out and say thank you for all your support. Do me a favor, check out that Bullhorn app. Give us a subscribe on that app. Man, you guys can watch us live right from your phone, call in, ask Cody questions, all from the app. So check it out. And make sure you guys give us a follow on the IG at GU_Unfiltered_ and @GladiatorsUnleashed. And if you're a patron, love you.